Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Lisa Hendy and Friends. We are back behind the microphone this week, and it's another Team Lisa interview. I always love interviewing friends who have the name Lisa, and especially when they are my actual real life friends, as today's guest is. Joining us on the podcast today is Lisa Lawmaster Hess. And Lisa is a Jersey girl who moved to Pennsylvania for college and then stayed. She is the author of nonfiction and fiction, and she's also written for several online and print publications, including her own blog at Organizing by Style. And she's a contributor to Catholic Mom and to today's Catholic Teacher. And most importantly for today's conversation, she is the author of an amazing new book called Know Thyself, The Imperfectionist Guide to Sorting Your Stuff. Welcome to the podcast, Lisa.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, Lisa. The Lisa Show.
Yeah. And it's so funny how many of my social media friends are named Lisa. We use the hashtag Team Lisa quite frequently. And I'm just really, really happy to have you on the show today. I know you, but friends don't. So maybe give us a little introduction to yourself. And I'm kind of curious about how you got into this world of organizing.
Okay. Well, as the bio said, that I came to Pennsylvania for college and I just stayed. I've officially been in Pennsylvania for more of my life than I was in New Jersey, but you can take the girl out of Jersey and you can't take the Jersey out of the girl. So that's always a part of who I am, remains a part nevertheless. I studied psychology and spent 27 years as an elementary school counselor, working with kids from kindergarten through eighth grade over the course of my career. And I took an early retirement a few years back. A great opportunity presented itself, and I took advantage of it. So I now have more time to write. But then I picked up another educating job about a year later. I now am an adjunct instructor of psychology at York College of Pennsylvania. And the Know Thyself stuff began when I was still working as an elementary school counselor. Anybody who's heard me speak about this and the origins of the book, it was the office switch. And I'll just shorthand it with, it was an office switch. I wasn't happy. And I wanted to make lemonade out of lemons. So I decided if I was going to move, I was going to get organized in the process. And I started doing a lot of reading and a lot of thinking about how I wanted to do things differently, and began to discover, through reading a wide variety of people, the why behind why my organization didn't look organized. I've always been one of those people who can find what she needs, but sometimes it meant I had to sort through piles to get there. So I ended up, long story short, in the process of organizing myself, because I was working with kids, thought, why should they have to wait till they're adults to figure out these skills? And started bringing some of my lessons to small groups and classrooms with my elementary school students. And I have joked that my youngest students were 8, and my oldest student, I think, was 86. I did this at a retirement village. And so it began as a quest to organize myself in a way that was sustainable. I could get organized for short periods of time, but I wasn't successful in staying organized. So I wanted to find the way that would get me organized so that I would look organized to the outside world, because from a professional perspective, that mattered to me. And so also that I would be able to stay that way once I got started. So I say very often that I am a work in progress. So I'm still aiming for the 100% everything wonderful place as I sit at my dining room table and look at most of what's on the table is not mine today, which is very good news. But I am still working on making things just so in every aspect of life. And I think that's going to be a lifetime challenge. But as I have found the things that work for me, I can carry them across situations. So the things that worked for me at work became the types of things that I would try at home and find things that would work and I'd stick with.
Amazing. I sort of think of you as like the anti Marie Kondo in my life, because I've been following your work for many years, and I was so thrilled when you approached me and told me that Know Thyself was coming out, because I think you and I mean, we've been affiliated through Catholic Mom, and I've been a student of your organizing styles. And I, a few years ago, got really serious about this myself, because Greg and I went through this humongous move to Los Angeles, and we had to shed ourselves of about 2/3 of our earthly possessions to be able to make this move.
Oh my God.
And it was quite painful. And during that process, I, one of the things that I did was to listen to the life-changing magic of tidying during the time. I listened to the audiobook while I was sorting my stuff. And while Marie Kondo's work has edified me, yours has been more helpful to me, because I think that your approach of recognizing that not everyone has the same lifestyle and the same personality and the same life circumstances has been very liberating for me, to realize that there are different ways to do, you know, the essential tasks of organizing. So it's kind of interesting to me that you were really doing this maybe before it got so popular in recent years, right?
Yes, thank you for that. When I found out my book was coming out at the same time that Marie Kondo's Netflix series was starting, I thought, oh, wonderful timing. But yes, this book has been 12 years in the making. I did finally went back and did the math to figure out what it was. And one of my daughter's friends was in one of my first groups, and my she was, she shall remain nameless at this point because we're on air, but she was in third grade at the time, and she will now be a senior in college.
Wow.
So it was 12 years in the making, and I can't tell you how wonderful it is to hear from people that this has helped them, because it's one of those things. I struggle with my background in psychology to look for the research and the science behind things, and it took me a long time to find it, and that might be part of the reason that my journey was so long. It's very easy. I saw a review of another book that I'm reading that I enjoy where somebody said, well, you can't just make this stuff up and put it out there. Well, yeah, you can. Self-help people do it all the time. But I wanted the background behind it. And I've become interested in the last several years in positive psychology. And positive psychology takes the approach of a strengths-based approach. So what can you already do? What are you already good at? And how do you use that as the foundation for everything else? So to hear that this has been helpful to people is just amazing to me. It's made a big difference for me. I know I've come a long way. I still have a long way to go. But thank you so much for reading what I've had to say and for telling me that it was useful to you. That makes more of a difference, I think, even than getting the book in print. Getting the book in print is very exciting. But hearing back from people this had a personal impact on me, I think it's the counselor in me. It's like, okay, that's why it's out there.
I helped.
And my goal is, I'm sorry, I think I interrupted you.
No, I'm just saying, like, you realize, and actually the work that you do can have very visual impact, you know, that has a psychological impact, but you can walk into a room and see, you know, that if you've implemented something that, that is taught in your book or on your blog, that, you know, it makes both an emotional and a physical difference in people's lives.
Well, thank you. I joke that I'm midway between Marie Kondo and an episode of Hoarders.
Which is where most of us are. So one basic
exactly.
element of your kind of system is your style, your personal and organizational style. And in an early chapter of the book, you lead us through a quiz that helps us to identify one of six different types of styles. And Lisa, I want to ask you, so I could take this quiz, and I have taken it multiple times, and I feel like I fall, depending on where I am in my week and in my life, I've sometimes fall into different categories. Is that possible, or do I have bipolar?
It's funny you should ask that, because my initial response, and I think my response in the book, was that you'll generally find that one of these strategies, one of each of the styles, because there are personal styles and there are organizational styles, and the personal styles are the who and the organizational styles are the how. But I think it's possible for you to switch among those. And I used to say, yes, I think you're going to find that one comes out on top most of the time. But I think also we do have elements of these depending on where we are in life. And that's also the reason we need to be flexible with ourselves and with our organizational styles as we move forward, because being at different places in our lives requires different organizational skills and presents different organizational challenges for us. So I identify with an I love stuff personal style and a drop and run organizational style, but I also fit into the needing to be busy. I'm sorry, I identified myself wrong. I've got my book open so I don't flip over the name. I need to see it. I'm not I love stuff. See, that was Freudian. My daughter was I love stuff growing up. I need to see it drop and run. And so my piles are everywhere. And when emotion is running high, it's harder for me to get through my piles, because it's a lot harder to divest ourselves of things when we're feeling emotional about things. So yeah, yes, I think it is possible to be more than one. I think it's possible to move in and out of different ones. I do maintain, generally, we tend to have one that rises to the top in our personal styles and one that rises to the top in our organizational styles.
So let me ask you, you mentioned piles, and for anybody who's out there listening that is just like overwhelmed by the concept of getting their life together, you know, what is, aside from buying that Know Thyself, which I definitely recommend that you get, we'll have a link in the show notes. You know, is it possible to start in the midst of chaos with something very small and build from there?
Absolutely. And I actually swear by that, especially if you're and I love to be busy person. You've got that personal style. And I actually have sort of given that a caveat, which is I love to be busy / I am busy and I didn't pick this, because for busy moms in particular, they are busy and they didn't choose it. They don't necessarily love it, but that's the way life is going. I'm a big fan of setting aside small pieces of time to accomplish things. When my daughter was little and I tried to write, I could not get big blocks of time to write. And I would often write while she was at a dance class, or when we were in a waiting room someplace, I would take 15 minutes here and 10 minutes there. And I apply the same concept with organizing. If you can just pick up one pile and sort through it while you're watching television at the end of the night, when you're too tired to think of anything else. this week, I actually, on my Organizing by Style blog, talk through something I discovered the other night. Now, again, 12 years in the making, you would think I could pretty much do this inside out, upside down, and sideways. Discovered a hole in my own organizational system the other night. I taught a summer class, and my summer class ended 2 weeks ago. And I started, now house is on top. And for a while, it was school was on top, now house is on top. The first thing was the piles. And as I went through the piles, what I had was a whole bunch of homeless papers that fit into to distinct categories. They just needed to go somewhere. They needed a home. I had an accordion file in my office because I collect this kind of stuff. Grabbed it, 10 minutes with my label maker and my piles. Suddenly, the piles that were on the table were in the accordion folder and filed in a way that made sense to me. And now, when I go through the mail, they go in the accordion folder instead of on the table. And a lot of times it's the process of doing it a little at a time where we discover, wait a minute, all of these things, this is the same problem with all of these papers. Okay, so now I've identified the problem. What do I do with it?
Yeah,
so yeah, 5 to 15, I talk about give it 5. Set a timer for 5 minutes. Fly Lady website is wonderful. She talks about 15-minute time breaks. I originally was working with little kids, so I told them to set their timers for 5 minutes. And at the end of 5 minutes, they had permission to stop if they wanted to. And then they would come back the next week and report. I said, how many of you did your 5 minutes? Almost all of them did. And at least half of them said, but you know what happened? Once I started, I couldn't stop. And I finished and my room was clean, or my desk was done, or the drawer was clean. Because getting started is half the battle for us a lot of the time.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that having some kind of positive reinforcement for yourself, too, to understand. I mean, eventually the cleaning and the organizing in and of itself becomes your reward, because you recognize how much more peace you have when your life is a little bit more orderly. You mentioned the Marie Kondo Netflix show, and I did watch that, and I've read her work. And I'm also a very big fan of Mary Sperry and Mary Elizabeth Sperry and her book, Making Room for God. I tend to read a lot of this stuff because it's something that I really struggle with in my own life. And one thing that's occurred to me in my recent years is that, you know, as someone who sometimes falls into that I love stuff category, that I have particular areas that are problematic for me. One of them is books. And so, you know, trying to stay on top of that. Another thing that's been an issue for me as we've moved into a smaller living space is having room, you know, for basic things like clothing. And so I have this new rule for myself now that if I see something that I think I need to buy, I know that my closet will only hold a certain amount of things. So I have to think about what I'm going to donate to make room for that new item. And it's actually kind of brought me to be less of a over-consumer because of the smaller amount of space. But it was really hard getting there. You know, and one aspect of, I think, Marie Kondo's work that, you know, people who are people of faith will have different opinions about is her idea of thanking the object. For me, when I was decluttering, thanking God for the use of that object. But spiritually, what benefit do you see that understanding your organizational style has for you when you can get a handle on this for your spiritual life?
I think you hit at one of the most important spiritual payoffs, which is the inner peace of not being distracted by all of these other things that are around us. And things are not bad in and of themselves. We keep things because of the value that we attach to them. And provided the value that we attach to them is not just a desire to accumulate or an urge for more, I think a lot of times the value we attach also has some spirituality to it in terms of the role we're playing in our lives. That's a bit of a stretch, but I'm thinking of a picture that my daughter did of herself in second grade, a pastel self-portrait that she did of herself in second grade. She'll be 22 on her next birthday. This picture still hangs in my office. I do not imagine myself getting rid of this anytime that I can imagine at all, because this evokes so much of who she is, who she was, and that time for me. So are we keeping our things because they're things and things matter? That, I think, has some very potentially negative spiritual repercussions for us. Are we keeping things because they remind us of what's important to us? We're keeping, we lost my mom 2 years ago. I have things scattered through my house that were my mom's. And actually, when I get dressed in the morning, I have jewelry of hers. And I'll say, you know, Mom, today we're going to class. Or today we're going to, you know, it's not that I want to accumulate tons of jewelry, but it's my mom and it's a piece of her. And if they can trigger for us the memories and our values and what's important to us, then they're more than just things. If we accumulate just to accumulate, it's an obstacle, and it's especially, I think, a spiritual obstacle. I know it's hard for me to sit down and be at peace if my house is calling to me or other tasks are calling to me. So if we can keep things organized in a way that allows us to find those few moments of peace and not be distracted by what needs to be done around us, I think that improves our spiritual life. I think we can take quiet time with God because our surroundings are quiet, so to speak.
Yeah, it makes sense. It does, absolutely. And one thing that that is kind of sprinkled throughout Know Thyself are some of your prayers, which is really a helpful thing to me, too. One thing that I really like about this book is that it's very... it's very organized. So you have charts and checklists and the quizzes and lists and all kinds of things like this. So if you're somebody who, you know, likes to work your way through a book, this is a book that I think somebody will not just read through once, but you'll be picking it up and down as, you know, as a resource while you're working through a process. So, it's really great, Lisa. One thing I wanted to ask you about was planners, and you have a little section on this on the book, but I think for most people who are attempting to organize their life, you know, we organize our stuff, but also you acknowledge the importance of time management. Can you talk a little bit about planners and how they can be part of our getting organized?
Again, I think we go back to our styles, and I keep playing with different kinds of planners. A lot of organizers say there should be just, you should have just one calendar, and it's a master calendar, and everything goes on that. For me, as an I need to see it person, I become visually overwhelmed by one planner that has everyone's life on it. So I actually have my planner that I use. I know myself, I know I need to have a month-by-month view and a week-by-week view that has enough room in each of the days of the week for me to write in several things. I know I need space for notes, and I know that at the beginning of each week, either on Sunday or Monday, I need to sit down with my planner and create a single sheet that puts everything in front of me of what the day looks like. That's me and planners. I also have multiple planners. I have a separate planner for work than the one that I have for home, because my planner gets too visually cluttered if I put everything into one space. So I think the key, that's me and planners. So that only describes a tiny little piece of planners. But I think the important thing is, as we look at our planners, just as we look at our organization, to not be shy about looking for all of the pieces that we need in a planner, and to think about what we want this planner to accomplish for us. Do we want one big calendar in the kitchen that everyone can see, and if our kids are old enough, they're all responsible for putting their own stuff on so we don't have schedule conflicts? Does every family member have a planner and we sync them electronically? Or in my house, my family just loves this, and yes, that was sarcasm. On Friday nights at dinner, I pull out my calendar and say, okay, so here's what I have in the schedule for the week. What am I missing? What's not written down? So that everybody, we kind of check in once a week as a family with, this is what's going on, and this is where we need to be. I'm an almost empty nest mom at this point, so I don't have nearly the lists that moms who are still raising young children have. But I think whether you have one planner or multiple planners is a decision based on your styles. I tried very hard to stick to the one planner rule and found that it didn't work for me. But we need to be cautious when we start doing multiple planners that we're finding a way to sort of synchronize everything and make sure that all of the puzzle pieces fit together. Planners are also a great way of reminding us when we're overbooked. I love Marsha Ramsland's work, and she talked about literally saying, I can only book this many days and this many nights during the week, and I can only have this many activities on the weekend. And when I first read that, I thought, oh, that is so rigid. And we're so shy about taking time for ourselves. I mean, one of my favorite things in the world is either a blank space in my planner where the whole day is open, or a blank surface in my house where everything's been put away and it's nice and neat and clean. That brings me peace, and that brings me a sense of optimism about all of the possible things that I can do with that time. So I think it's wise to remember to block out time for ourselves. And I'm sorry, that doesn't answer the planner question. That's more of a time management thing. But we can forget that just because it all fits in the space in the little block in the planner doesn't mean it fits comfortably in your day. So thinking too about whether you want the planner to be portable or whether you want the planner to be permanent. Is it that big family thing in the kitchen that everybody can see that you really can't fit in your back pocket? If so, what's your method for doctor's appointments on the fly, haircut appointments on the fly, an appointment at a PTA meeting that you get on the fly? You don't have your calendar with you. So
love it.
I do have a whole chapter in the book, I think, on plan. But in the time management chapter, I talk about planners and fitting them to your style.
Another helpful chart to me that's in Know Thyself, and it's in a chapter on organizational styles and default settings, is you actually have a list of containers, different types of containers. And I am like, I'll tell you, one of the things that I hoard is organizational things that I think will help me be more organized. And since discovering this chart a few years ago from you, I'm more cautious about buying these tools that, and it's like right now there are more containers than ever, just because it seems to be a popular thing. Yep. Right now.
Yeah.
So without, you know, I want people to get the book and look at it, but talk a little bit about why, you know, the tools that we use, like containers, make a difference for our organizational style.
Generally speaking, tools should work in our service, not the other way around. And that sounds so logical, but it's actually counterintuitive to the way most of us work. We assume we need a binder. If we've got a bunch of papers, we need a file cabinet. We need file folders. We need a binder. If we've got kids in elementary school, they need pocket folders. So there's a take-home side and a bring-back side. And I would say that I've not done the math on this, but I'm guessing that at least a third of the population of kids doesn't put the paper in either side. But and if we're lucky, if they get it in that pocket folder at all. So it's choosing the one that works for you. And again, not being shy about understanding that what works for everybody else doesn't, and not beating ourselves up about what doesn't work. It's easy to brand ourselves a lot of negative things. I've discovered I'm not good with binders. I'm not good with file cabinets. I need to see it. As an I need to see it person, as soon as I close that binder or close that drawer, those things have disappeared and I have completely forgotten about them. I spent a lot of years trying to convince myself that I should learn how to do this. There shouldn't be a should. If the tool doesn't work for you, you're not the problem. You need a different tool. It took me a long time to find my favorite tool of all is file holders that are open on the top. I sold 31 bags for a while, and they make a great little fabric one in pretty different prints that it's open on the top. You can carry it from room to room. I color code my file folders that go inside of it. The difference that it makes in me being able to find things quickly and actually put things away between that and a file cabinet, it's enormous. My husband is a file cabinet person. He would just shake his head and say, why can't you just use a file cabinet? Why can't you just use, and society says this to us all of the time. Why can't you just? Well, you know what you need. You need a pocket folder. You need a binder. You need a, okay, we can try those things. But if and when those things don't work for us, we need to find the things that do, and then we can transfer that skill across all of our settings. Every place I store things has a bin, a crate, a file folder, something with no top on it, because I'm drop and run. And if I have to I have to pull something out and flip through a bunch of folders and find the right one and stick something in, that's four steps. It's so much easier to just drop the paper on the counter and walk away.
And you wouldn't think, folks, that there are that many different types of containers, but if you access the chart in this chapter on in Lisa's book, you Know Thyself, you'll see. And I can look at this and kind of intuitively know, okay, I need X, Y, Z. And it's just so funny how we come to know ourselves. And so before you go out and spend a bunch of money on some system, you know, really consider why it is that you're going to be using it, what your use case is, what your organizational style is, and go from there. So, oh my gosh, Lisa, I could keep you on the phone forever. Unfortunately, I can't because I know you're busy. But I really want to point people again to the book, Know Thyself, The Imperfectionist's Guide to Sorting Your Stuff. If you're a perfectionist, then go ahead and, you know, check this out too. I'd say this system really has been such a great, great gift to me. And we'll have links in the show notes to your website and all your social media profiles and everything else. Lisa, any kind of closing thoughts that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Actually, a couple, if I have time for a couple quick
Absolutely.
Sentences on this time. One is going back to something that you've said about reading these kinds of things, and this is an ongoing thing for you. Organization is a journey. It's yes, we hope that the destination is that our houses look nice and we've got this skill, but it's a journey and our lives change and we need to change with our lives and our styles may stay the same, but what we need to do changes. So number one, organization is a journey. Number two, you are the boss of your tools, not the other way around. If your tools are being difficult, you need to pick a different tool. And related to that, I love what you said about don't go and spend a bunch of money on a lot of things, especially if you're organizing with kids. I am a huge fan of the clearance rack at Staples, the dollar bins at Target, and the dollar store. Before you're going to redo any place, don't go to the high-end place. And I absolutely love the Container Store. I have absolutely nothing against going and buying beautiful organizers, but make sure you know they're going to work for you before you lay out the money for them. And again, especially if you're organizing with kids. Kids love cheap plastic containers, and you can buy those in bulk at the dollar store. And then if they don't work for your kids, you haven't spent a lot of money, because organizing doesn't have to be an expensive proposition. It shouldn't be something else for us to throw money at. It should be something that allows us to get a task under control so that it frees up time for us to do the things that matter. And that's the reason that it's important to go from our styles. And finally, one of my favorite endorsements that I got was from a professional organizer who said, there's no blaming or shaming in Lisa's world. And I love that she got that. I'm right there with you. I am a work in progress, and I struggle with that. I struggle to admit that sometimes because I'm thinking, if I'm the listener, I'm thinking, well, why should I buy a book by somebody who doesn't really have it all together 100% of the time? I would like you to find that person who's got it together 100% of the time, everything. And if so, follow them. They really have the answer. But I think for the rest of us, it's an emerging process. And we will, you know, we get better at it and we learn what we need. And like you said, Lisa, you can now look at things and go, yeah, that's pretty, but that's not going to work for me. I think we learn a lot about ourselves in the process. And my second goal, besides the organization goal with this, and this is my parting comment, I want people who struggle to be organized to recapture their organizational confidence. I watched it in kids who already in third grade or fifth grade were beaten down by the fact that they couldn't use the tools that they were expected to use. And it's a terrible feeling to walk around feeling like you're broken. I want people to find that organizational confidence in themselves about the way that they do it and just say no to the tools that don't work, not because they're broken, but because that's just not the right choice for them.
Amen, sister. Amen. That's amazing. Well, friends, definitely check out Know Thyself, the Imperfectionist Guide to Sorting Yourself. We'll have links in our show notes to grab this at Amazon or our Sunday Visitor. We'll also want you to connect with Lisa Lawmaster Hess at her personal blog and also in the other places that she writes. So we'll get those links for you and you can follow her on Instagram. She's Lisa Lawmaster Hess. I'll have her other links too, but I really like what you're posting at Instagram because it kind of, when you post different things there, it makes me look at, okay, what's happening in my situation with this? Like you had a recent, like a tickler file that I was like, oh, okay, that I could do that. And I mean, sometimes having those visual hints is really helpful. So if you're somebody who likes Instagram, definitely follow Lisa over there. Lisa, thank you so much for the gift of your time and for the peace that you're bringing to my life on behalf of my husband too. I thank you. So,
Lisa, this was so much fun.
Oh, it was great. And friends, that is it for this week's episode. I again, you know, we talk about a lot of books, but this is a book that you're going to want to keep with you. So definitely check it out and get your highlighter ready and, you know, get ready to take some control in your life, to understand your style, to be grateful for the gifts that God has given you, just as he's created you, and to find some peace. We'll, again, have links in the show notes at lisahendy.com to reach Lisa Lawmaster Hess. I do want to ask you, if the show is meaningful to you, that you provide some support by sharing this episode with a friend. Maybe don't be like so blatant as to say, hey, you need to get organized, so you got to listen to this one, but share the podcast with a friend. If you are listening at iTunes, if you could leave a star review or a rating over there, that's really helpful. And I'm always welcoming your ideas for show guests, so you can reach out to me at lisahendy@gmail.com. And I love my social media, so find me anywhere at Lisa Hendy, and let's be friends in those places and grow together. Until next week, I hope you have an amazing week, and I'll see you next time. God bless.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
BritBox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.